Welcome to our monthly shiur. As always, before Pesach, we're trying to dedicate the shiur to some aspects of the Haggadah. And this year, I've decided to dedicate it to something that during the year I have a lot of people that coming to me and asking for advice because they're struggling with those issues. So I wanted to see what we can learn and if we can learn anything from the Haggadah. I have here a page that I gave out with the psukim, so whoever comes in, if you be so kind and give them a page so they can follow. We're talking today about one of the four sons that are mentioned in the Haggadah, the most problematic one probably among all the four of them, and that's the Ben HaRosheh. I don't know exactly how to translate in the Roshe, the evil one, the bad one, and there are different, there's big differences, by the way, in at least in the Talmudic language between a Roshe and a Ro. Ro is bad, a Roshe is not necessarily bad, but it may be worse or better in certain aspects, but they're definitely not the same. So let's read. I gave you in the page that everybody had in front of you what the Baal HaGodah is saying on this Roshe, and we would like to dwell a little bit into it and see what and why there are some words in this paragraph that do not jive with the way that the Torah give it to us when the Torah talks about it. The big red letters, we have a page here to take. The HaGodah is saying the following: Roshe Mahu Oimer. The evil one, the bad kid, what does he say? Says the Torah, he's saying, Moha avoido hazois lochem. What are you bothering with this all work that you are doing? Says the Baal HaGodah, because he said the word lochem, which means to you, is lochem veloy loy. He meant to say to you, but it's not relevant to me. Since he took himself out of the crowd that is sitting in this, around the table, or Klal Yisrael altogether, by saying the word Lochem to you, the Kofar Beika, and that is also going to show a sign that he doesn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Afhato Hake Eshinov, and a lot of people make the mistake that they think that the word hake shino means to hit him in a stick. In Hebrew, the word hake, which means hit, is written with a kaf, not with a kof. And so here the word does not mean to hit him, but it means to dull a stick. When you want to say in Hebrew that the knife is sharp, you say the sakin chada. When you want to say that the knife is dull, you say asakin keha. So kehe does not mean to hit, but kehe means to dull. Take out some of the sharpness, some of the poise out of him. The emoloi, and what is the answer that you're going to tell him? Because of this, and we will see soon what is this that we're talking about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did what he did for me because of ABC. And then we're adding the words li velo lecha. That's not the way it's written in the Haggadah. Because li velo lecha means that I'm still talking to this kid, to the Rosho, and I'm saying this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me and not to you. But if you look in the Haggadah, that's not the word, the way it's mentioned in the Haggadah. And I wrote it in parentheses. In our Haggadah it says li velo loy. Now you're no longer talking to him. Now you're talking to someone else, and you're saying, to me, not to him. You're not saying to me and not to you. I'm now talking to a third person, and I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it to me, and not to him. A big difference, which we'll see where it's coming from. Ilu hoyoshom, if we continue to tell it either to the Roshe or to the third person about him, loy hoyonigal, he would not have been redeemed if he would be in Mitzrayim. That paragraph in the Haggadah creates a ton of commentaries, questions and answers that we will not be able to go through all of it, but I'll just try to go through some of the gist of the issues that are here and how we resolve them. So if you will look, under the big red ones that I bought the quote from the Haggadah and from the Mechitza, let's see where in the Torah it's written the question of the Roshe. By the way, I brought you here all the psukim that are in the Torah that are parallel to the one that I mentioned in the Haggadah. Basically, the Torah doesn't say that the pasuk is talking about Chochom, Rosho, Tam, V'Shein, Oideh, Lishol. The Baal Haggadah assigns certain psukim in the Torah to each one of those four characters or four different people, four different sons. So the Baal Haggadah, as we just read, the words Ma ha'avoido hazois lochem, this is a pasuk in Shmois, Perek Yud Bet. Let me read the psukim to you. V'hoyu ki yoimru alechem b'neichem, when your children will tell to you, Ma ha'avoido hazois lochem, what is this work that you're doing, or worship that you're doing? V'amartem, now this is the lesson that Baal Haggadah is using, that they will say, Ma ha'avoido hazois lochem. That's the only posuk that is mentioned, the question in that language, and the Baal Haggadah says that that question is being asked by the Rosh. Comes the Torah and says, Va'amartem zevach pesach ulashem, asher posach al batei bnei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. You will say, this was what we do now is to commemorate, or if it was the first generation that came out of Mitzrayim, this is what we're doing. We are now bringing a Korban Pesach, or during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and we're doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was poiseh the houses of Bnei Yisrael, and that's why we call it Korban Pesach, and that's what we celebrate. So the Torah actually gives an answer to the Rosh. The Torah says, you know, you're telling the Rosh, V'amartem Zevach Pesach. We're doing now either to commemorate or at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, we are now eating Korban Pesach because we are celebrating what happened to us in Mitzrayim. The Baal Haggadah does not bring this pasuk. If you go back to the top, Rosh Mo Oimer Ma Avoida Azois Lachem, which is exactly the words that are used in this pasuk, and the Baal Haggadah skips the answer. He says, Lochem b'loy loy. Why is the Baal Haggadah skipping the answer that the Torah is giving to the Rosh? Now, what is the pasuk that Baal Haggadah is quoting in the answer to the Rosh? Af ato hake shinov, I'm back to the top paragraph, ve'emor lo, ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeiti mimitzrayim, which is a quote of the pasuk in the Torah. But that pasuk in the Torah, if you will go to the Eino Yodea Lishol, which is the last quote from the psukim in the Torah, the pasuk says, "V'igata lebincho b'yoyim ahu, ba'avur ze asa Hashem li b'tzeisim imitzrayim." The Torah there is not talking about somebody that asking the question. The Torah is just saying, V'igadet alebincho, and you will tell your children. That's why the Baal Haggadah assigned this particular pasuk L'she'eino yodea lishol, somebody who doesn't know how to ask a question, or according to some commentator, somebody who doesn't care to ask the question. But this is not a response to a question. This is just we telling him what we're doing. So now Baal Haggadah is taking the pasuk that is the Torah gives to somebody who doesn't know how to ask a question and cites the same pasuk also for the Rosh. So the same pasuk is cited for both the Rosh and She'eino Yodea Lishol. Yet the pasuk that the Torah brings as an answer to the Rosh, to the Beit Zvan, is not even mentioned in the Baal Haggadah at all. Naturally, those are all questions that we need to understand why. Why is this that the Baal Haggadah avoids the answer of the Torah? But in order to understand it, we need to just go with a few more questions that will give us, hopefully some of it will give us the response. First of all, we said already that the same pasuk is mentioned as an answer to the Rosh and to the She'eino Yodea Lishol. Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li betzeisim imitzrayim, which means because of what we did, HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually saved us and took us out of Mitzrayim. It's an interesting thing, because the answer that we say is Ba'avur ze asa Hashem li
Betzeisim Yimitzrayim.
When this pasuk is quoted, when we answer to the Rosha,
the Baal HaGodah jumps right away and say, you know, it's to me, but not to you.
You would not have been redeemed if you would be in Mitzrayim. Yet, quoting the same pasuk for Shein or Yadea Lishol, you're saying also there, Ba'avu Zeh Asa Hashem Li Betzeisim Yimitzrayim. Over there, you're not telling him Li and not to you. If the word Li really means me and not you, then it should mean the same for both children. Why is this that for one of them we're saying it means me and not you, and for the other one we're saying doesn't mean like this? Why? And we spoke already about the issue that the difference in Baal HaGodah is Baal HaGodah is saying Li velo Loi. We're talking about a third person. We're not responding to the Roshe. Why is this? So, there is a few interesting approaches to understand this interaction between the son and the father, and based on this understanding of the interaction, the responses that the father is giving to the son. We all have to know that we are today, as parents or grandparents, many times facing what the Agoda is called the Roshe. It's not an evil person, but it's a challenging person. It's a person that challenges some of the things that we do. Let's go slowly, slowly through them and understand it. The Rambam, when he brings those halachas of Pesach, and he enumerates it, the Rambam says he avoids altogether this son, the Roshe. The Rambam says the following: Mitzvah lehodi al abanim, we have an obligation and a mitzvah to teach our son. Va'afilu lo sha'alu, that's she'ino yodea lishol. Even if they did not ask, we have to tell them. She'ne'mar v'igadeta lebincha, you have to tell to your son. And now the Rambam says, lefi da'ato shel ben aviv melamdo, you have to teach your son according to this particular son. You cannot do a one size fit all. Says the Rambam, Keitzad, imaya katan otipesh. This is the tam that the Agoda talks about. The Yerushalmi does not call this kid tam, but it's called him a tipesh. But if he's small, he doesn't yet know enough even to ask a question. Emolo, you have to tell him, my son, kulanu ahinu avadim, we all were slaves to Pharaoh, כמו שפחה זו או כמו עבד זה במצרים, ובלילה הזה פדה אותנו הקדוש ברוך הוא ויוצאינו לחירות. You're telling him a story. We were all enslaved one time to the Mitzrayim, like we have today at the time when he wrote it, the Rambam, there were also slaves. So you can point like he's a slave now and he's a slave now. We were slaves in Mitzrayim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. Ve'im haya ben gadol v'chacham, and if the son was older, adult and smart, modia mashira lanu b'mitzrayim, ve'nisim shenasu lanu al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, hakol lefi da'ato shel ben. If the kid is smart, then you can go with him a little bit more and telling him about all the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from Mitzrayim, and all that happened between going out of Mitzrayim and Har Sinai. But the Rambam twice repeats that it has to be lefi da'ato shel ben. That means that you have to respond to every kid on their level. We spoke about it in the past, that in Matan HaTorah, Matan HaSinai, V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot, says the Medrash that the kolot, it's not one call, I mean there was one call that came out. The Torah writes kolot to tell you that each one heard it to his capability. The notion that we can go in and talk to a group of kids or a group of or class, and talk to them all in the same level and the same language, and assume that they all understand it the same, is just simple wrong, and can lead to some disastrous result. I want to take a small deviation just, and tell you an unbelievable vote that the Talmud Rebbe Shlita told one time, Mechanchim in Los Angeles, and I think I mentioned it once in the past. When the Torah brings the makor of Borod, it was koilois ubrokim, it was very loud, and it was miraculous. It was water together with fire. You couldn't avoid really
being amazed and awe with what you saw. Okay? The next makkah afterwards is arbe, locust.
And what is makkah's arbe?
You have something which is a natural phenomenon. We still have it today. Locust is coming. They're all coming with huge numbers. They're going down on the ground. They sit there for a day or 2 days. And when they get up, the ground is clean. There is nothing that's left on the ground. Nothing. And when the Torah brings the makkah of arbe, the Torah says, Uleman tesaper beozne bincho uben bincho et asher italalti b'mitzvah. The makkah that we have to tell, and what did the arbe eat, by the way? The Torah says that whatever the barat did not break, because the barat could break only the hard trees, but those that bend it, that could bend, the barat could not break them. So those are pillows, as the Torah says, the soft things. Those are the ones that the arbe ate. The arbe ate whatever the kol ha-pleita asher hashaira ha-barat, whatever was left from the borah, the arbe left. So you have two makkahs. One makkah that is coming with a lot of noise, can break the hard things, but cannot finish it. Then you have the arbe that comes quietly, looks like a natural phenomenon, and finishes everything. And the Torah says that the one that I want you to tell your children, leman tesaper beozne, in the ears of your children and your grandchildren, is the makkah of arbe. Why is this the one that you want to talk so much about it, not the makkah of borod, which was miraculous and everybody could see it? Says the Talmud Rebbe that there is two ways to educate people. There is one way to do it like a borot. You're yelling, you're hitting, you're just trying to push it too. Okay? It said it may break some kids. The strong ones, it may affect them. They may get what you want. The message may come through. But there will be a lot of kids that are bending. They are not going to get it. Not only they're not going to get it, they're going to be bent. Because what you talk to them doesn't mean what you think means to them. Says the arbe on the other side comes quietly, no much noise. They sit on the ground and they go to every nook. They are flexible enough to be able to go and eat whatever is left on the ground. He said, that's the way that the Torah wants you to talk to your children. That's why the Torah says, Uleman tesaper beoznei bincho, in the ears of your children. Don't just sit down like I do now and give a speech. When we tell the sipur of Yetzias Mitzrayim on Pesach night, we should prepare ourselves. This is not just reading the Haggadah. We have to tell the kids a story that will be meaningful to them. And the kids are all four, because it's written, Keneged Arbo Bonim, Dibro Torah. So the Torah calls the Rosha also a Ben. But we need to know how to talk to him. Up to a point. The Rambam does not mention the Ben Roshe. The Rambam is saying that we're talking here about somebody who is beyond reproach. Somebody whose only purpose in asking the question is mockery. And if that's the only purpose of asking the question, says Rav Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik, JB as we all know him, that the Rambam is holding, don't talk to him, because it's going to be a waste of efforts. The only thing that you have to worry still, says Rav Yoshe Ber, is the rest of the children. And I have to tell you, it's a problem that is persistent. When you talk to families that are affected by kids that are challenging, one of the fears that they always have is, what is this going to do to the other kids? If somebody misbehaves at home, somebody doesn't daven, somebody, and it does it brazenly and it does it demonstrably, how do you react to this? Are you trying to hide it? There are two issues here. How does it affect him? But also, what does it do to the other ones? Says the God that the God is telling us here, that if you have somebody who's beyond reproach, worry about the other kids. And that's why we're saying, Li veloloi. We're not talking to him anymore. We're just talking now to the other children who we want to save from his bad influence. This is the Gro, by the way, and he says, Rabbi Yoshe Ber, that the Gro is saying it based on the Rambam that completely avoids the Ben Roshe. In the whole process of the Agode, the Rambam does not mention at all the Ben Roshe. He mentioned only the three ones. However, there are many that disagree to the Rambam approach and to the Gro, and saying that the meaning here is completely different. We will not have time to go through all of them, but I still want to go through the gist of it. The Ibn Ezra
has a very interesting approach. Rabbi Lezra says the following: V'tam she'ilat habanim, the reason that all of the kids are asking questions, bilotam kol ha'mishpacha chabura achat ochlim setamim. They say they suddenly see the entire family, which has to be a chabura. Chabura means that you have to be a member, to be a group, and you have to be a member of the group. You have to actually register for membership to be part of the chabura. If you're not, you cannot eat this korban Pesach together with them. Pesach is eaten by chabura. Chabura is a group. But it's not just that we decided to get a group to do it. You have to become a part, a member of the group, before the korban is being shechted. So this, the kids are sitting here, and they see this entire family, and the father and the leila seder, did you become a member of the group? Are you a member of the group? Are you a member? They suddenly see the entire family eating a set tomim. There is an entire sheep that is here. Al roishoy, al krov, ve'al kirboy. Every, all the internal parts, ve'etzem, lo tishbehu boy. We're not allowed to break a bone. Anybody who is not part of this group cannot touch it. So this is something very strange to them. They don't see it in other holidays. They don't see, this is something that they don't see throughout the year. It's a unique phenomenon. Says the Eben Ezra that that's what they're going to ask. What are all of those changes? Sounds a very innocent question. Very innocent question. What are all of those changes? However, this question of what is this that you're doing tonight can be asked either as a desire to know, or it can be asked in sarcasm. No, there's always, I remember that when I was a high school kid, my Rebbe told me that tone matters a lot. So there was one kid that went to the Rebbe, and went to the Rebbe and said, I had a son, such a mechutzav. He writes me a letter, he was in yeshiva, and he writes me a letter, and he says, Father, buy me shoes. What is this, I have to buy him shoes? So the Rebbe says, why do you read it like this? Why don't you read it differently, Father? Buy me shoes. Okay, the same words. The tone you say them can mean a lot different things. The Ben Rosho, when he says Mora Avoido Azois Lachem, it can be done in two different ways. It can be done in a sarcastic way, or it can be in a desire to know. When the sarcastic way is asked, somebody basically can... I'm laughing because it happened, okay? It happened to us. So you have guests, somebody, and look, you have a table. There's matzahs, there's moral. The table is loaded with food, okay? And what's the first question that somebody will say? Can we eat first and then say all of those things? Why do we have to wait for 2 hours or an hour and a half, depends how long it takes, before we put something in our mouth? Let's just eat. Forget the rest of it, we'll do it later, it's not important. When you get something like this, you have to be able to see what is this that you get. Either you tell somebody, listen, that's what we do and that's it, or you try to explain it to him. There's another thing that we need to know, and it's so true today about our challenged generation, if you want to call it. We need to know that there's a difference between something that I desire and something that I want. I'm not sure that those are the right words, but... if this is a wonderful day outside today, the sun is shining, it's a perfect weather, I don't always want to go to work. I'll rather go to the park or to the botanical garden and enjoy it. But it's not good for me, because I'll lose the job. So the word cheshek means choshko nafshi, I want it. I don't care yet about the long-term outcomes of what I'm doing. What's the ramification of my deal? I'm trying to do now and get it what it is. Ratzon, sometimes the word I want does not necessarily mean that I have a desire, but it's something that it's intrinsically something that I would like to have. The I want says you have to take a look at the longer range. I desire says right now that's what I want. We have today a generation that likes to have an immediate feedback, an immediate gratification. They just don't, if they don't understand something, they just don't understand why we have to do it. And that may be the question that we are being asked. It may be a question that we are being asked by the kids because it really doesn't make sense to them. I don't understand it. Many kids will say, I just don't understand why I have to daven. Why can't I get up every morning, I believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and I say, Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you, Moed Ani Lefanecha, and that's it. What is this all of?
the Aleluko and here and there, why do I have to do it?
Okay?
Because they don't understand it.
They don't understand it. And that's the question that we are sometimes asked. That they are asking us may be a very challenging question. They really means it's meaningless to us.
You want to tell me a little story about Avodim Ayinu? Tell me a little story.
You want to tell me now that I have to feel as if I left Mitzrayim like the Jews left 2,000 years ago?
What kind of nonsense are you talking to me?
I want to know how the White Sox are doing, how the Bulls are doing. Do I care about what Mitzrayim happened 2,000 years ago?
What's the Estim Rakot?
And that's a challenging question that requires a response. So, what is the response that we're giving him?
Says the Rashi, Ba'avu zeh asadi Hashem betzeisim mitzrayim.
Says the Rashi, Ba'avu zeh, Ba'avu sheakayem mitzvotav, kegon Pesach, Matzah u'maror halalu.
I'm not doing the mitzvahs because of something. This is who I am.
This is who I am. When we are born with those commandments, and we do them, and we find a tremendous delight in doing them, and when we start doing them, we really finding, if we stop, God forbid, you will find that, and we have a lot of people that stop, and I talk to them a lot, there is a void. I want to tell you an interesting story that happened to me. First year I came to the United States in 1975, I was a student at the University of Pittsburgh in the business school, and I was a doctoral student, so the people knew me there, and I went with the kippah kamuvan all the time. So the associate dean was an Irish Catholic person, calls me one day into the office, you know, he calls me in the phone and said, Isaac, I need to talk to you, come to my office. And I was afraid, I mean, I was a new student, why is the associate dean suddenly wants to talk to me? And I go to his office, I don't know what to tell you. And he says, I want to ask you a question. He says, by us Catholic, hell and paradise plays a major role. We're doing everything because we want to go to paradise, and if you'll do it, you'll go to hell. That's what we hear all day long. We grow up with it. What is the role that hell and paradise plays in the Jewish religion? I was not ready for this question. Okay? And it was tough. I told him, I'm not going to answer you right now. I need to think about it. And the only simple answer that I could come to him, and to my surprise, it was extremely satisfactory to him, is I told him, look, we have a package deal. We got a package. It's called 613 Commandments. This is the package that we received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We live every day with this package. It shapes what we do from the morning till the evening, okay? The truth of the matter is that we do everything because it feels good. We do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do it. But really, it's a package. We like it. We like the way we are growing with it. We like the way we're dealing with our families, with our children. And taking all of those things that are in the package, it gives us a pretty good deal. We're satisfied with it. I don't think I told him that I'm afraid to sin because I will go to hell. This is really not the thing that preventing me from doing a sin. Because I don't know what the hell is hell, but I know what I'm enjoying when I'm going to do the sin. So the comparison, I don't have really the right way to do it. I'm just not doing it because it doesn't feel right. It's wrong to do it. And it's wrong because it's outside the package we got. And we spoke a lot about it, but the bottom line is he walked out of there, he was extremely, extremely happy with the answer. I think that to a certain degree, that's what we tell the Russia. Not everything has to make sense to us. We don't. There are certain things that just doing them feels good, and if you do it with the right purpose, if you do it with the right attitude, it really gives a lot of meaning to your life. There's a difference between coming to a Seder and not knowing what it's all about and just eating a piece of matzah and going home, or doing the Seder the way it's supposed to be done. And I can tell you that people that are coming to us going, and some of them are, had very little to do with religion. When they walk out at 2 in the morning, they really, can I come next year? I have no clue what was impressive to them. Because they don't understand the Haggadah. We speak in English and with this, you know what they told us? It's the interaction that you have with the children. The way that you answer the question, the way that you give each child to express themselves. All the whole scene together was something that was very, very impressive to them. I think that in the bottom line, when we talk with a challenging person, that's the answer that we have. We have a really meaningful life. Don't lose it. Even if you don't understand it now, even sometimes it's feel better to take a drug or to get drunk. That is not what makes you happy in the long run. Because when you're talking about satisfying those needs, you become bored afterwards very quickly. Okay, I already did this. What's the next thing? The challenges are coming and coming. It's not so when you're doing it. I have to finish. I just want to read you a Kliyoko. The Kliyoko asks a lot of questions about the Ben Ahoshe. Why is this that they're talking in plural? Unlike all the other kids, here in the Pasuk on the Ben Ahoshe, plural. Everybody else, the Kliyoko is saying that the reason that Baal HaGodes skipped the answer in the Torah, it's not because he skipped it. He says the first answer that you have to give him is V'amartem Zevach Pesach. You have to try to give him an answer and make him as happy as possible. Try to explain to them what we are all about, why we're doing it, why is this so meaningful celebration, even though it happened a long time ago. If that doesn't work, if you see that he still keep mocking it, okay, you have to tell him what you're doing is wrong. Hakech enough. Don't take yourself out of this klal that works here. Because taking yourself out of the klal is going to make you feel terrible later on. But the first answer that we have to give him is what the Torah says, V'amartem Zevach Pesach. So it's not always the approach of I'm going to give it to him. The approach is always, I'm going first to try to answer it. I'm going to be first responsive to what is this that bothers him. If it doesn't work, I have to protect the rest of the family. Just want to finish with one interesting thing. The Agoda says, "Ulefi shehoitzi atmo min haklal kofar ve'ikar." As Rebohmot Rezrachi, it should be exactly the opposite. Lefi shekofar ve'ikar, because they say lochem ve'lo eloi, hoitzi atzmo min haklal. He's now taking himself out of the crowd. Why is this that the Baal HaGodes says that one causes the other when it should be the opposite? Says Rebbe Ochmot Chezrachi that that's what the Baal HaGodes means. If you want to be a mamin in HaKodesh Baruch Hu, you have to be part of Klal Yisrael. You have to be part of this group. If you are the reason that you're not a mamin, and the proof that you're not is hoitzi atzmo min haklal. I wish everybody a kosher nafay lechem yontev, and hopefully we'll be able to answer the right answer to our kids.